Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Desires for you to come and have your way this evening with us as we've gathered in the name of Jesus. Yes. Desires to fill you as you say yes and ask for more. He desires to come and speak to you, strengthen you. As we were worshiping and still worshiping, I kept getting over and over a scene that played out in my life when I first came to the Lord. And I wondered why I kept seeing it and feeling it. And I felt like it's for someone in here to, as a testimony to strengthen you and to help you and to make a decision for Jesus tonight. And the scene that I kept seeing was a time that I got filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. And when it happened, I knew that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And that was the defining moment in my life. It changed everything, the course of my life. And I kept seeing that image when he came, and I was filled with doubt, and I didn't really know if this was for real or not. I was a young man, discouraged, and really didn't know what was happening. My best friend had all of a sudden ended up in a mental ward, and he was solid as a rock, you know, a few days earlier. And so everything shifted, and there was this young charismatic priest at a Catholic church, and he was Catholic, so we started going there for some help. And this priest started speaking the gospel to me and telling me about Jesus. And he told me about the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, yeah. And so we were in a room, and we were praying. And God showed up, and he filled me. It wasn't religion. I hadn't been going to church. I didn't know anything about church. I was baptized when I was little, but I didn't know anything about church. I just kind of knew that I didn't want to hang out there, you know. I didn't want to go there. But when Jesus showed up into my life, everything shifted and changed. And you know, I had no background. I had no biblical learning. I didn't have anybody teach me the Bible or even tell me about it. But it was Jesus himself that came. And he shifted everything within my life. And I'm sure many of you, that's happened to you, but maybe there's some in here that haven't. And you're wondering, you know, because you were at church and you've been maybe judged by the church or condemned by the church. But Jesus wants you to know him tonight. He wants you to open up your heart and let him in. And if some of you are backslidden and you've walked away and you're not really even praying anymore, God wants to institute a new prayer life in you where you start praying again. Do you know that prayer meetings are some of the most unattended meetings in churches? But if you don't have prayer in your life, you can't, you know, it's prayer is the key for the morning to wake up and start the day, and prayer is the bolt at night that shuts the door and you go lay your head on the pillow. By talking with God and speaking to him. And so I just want to say this, that Jesus is real. Jesus changed my life, and I'm still here, and I'm still speaking about him. And I've struggled, but I haven't given up. And I'm sure you have too. And God has a massive, massive plan in order for all of your lives. And before I even share anything from the scripture, I just wanted to share my passion for him and how passionate he is for me and how passionate he is for you. Because he is. I mean, he will do anything to move in your life if you'll just open up the door and ask. He'll do anything. And tonight, I hope that, you know, okay, we're gathering at the meeting place at Tuesday night, and I'm real thankful that every one of you came out tonight. Real thankful that you're here. But more than anything, to hear worship and to worship God, that's good, but do you know him in such a deep way that you're so passionate and you're living in your passion right now? Are you living in your passion for Jesus right now? I believe that's what he wants to say to you and to me. And to all of us, because he wants us to be prepared, living in our passion for him, to know him. And I can't preach anything more than Jesus, 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 Jesus. The other day I had an encounter with the Lord, and about 3 hours later he confirmed the encounter that just blew me out of the water, that he communicates with us. He has a desire to let us know things if we want to listen. Do you want to listen? You're my brothers and you're my sisters in Christ. You're my family if you know Jesus. When I begin to look into the scripture and understand the 66 books that are in the Bible and knowing that they're endless, that they're never going to be abolished, they're never going to end, they're absolute. They're absolute. And when I begin to understand and see the Word of God and how it tied together from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I was blown away by that. And I thought, man, if people would just see this and know the scripture and how it's tied together and what a plan God has for all of us. If you've been around long enough here at Voice, you know you hear us talk about the kingdom and that we want to be a kingdom culture. Why do we want to be a kingdom culture? Because the king is coming back to live and rule and reign on the planet Earth for all eternity. He's coming back. And that's the hope that we have. So much of us are holding on to what we can hold on to. Many of us, you know, I know myself, many times selfish and not selfless. And God's saying, you know what? If you'll just trust me, if you'll know that I'm your all in all, I'm here to stand up here to tell you this night, Tuesday night, that if it's not for Jesus, I was dead a long time ago. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have the wife that I have. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have the children I have. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have any peace, and I've got peace. And I just can't say enough about him. He's good. He's real. He's the King of glory. And there's coming an outpouring, church, family. There's coming an outpouring of God's Spirit before this thing is over that's going to make every revival look like nothing. Compared to what he's going to pour out at the end of the age. It's promised in the Word of God. I think of how much we try to do
to maybe advertise Jesus or advertise what we do and tell people about what we do. But you know what? You never have to advertise about a fire. If a fire is happening, it will draw people. If a fire is happening in you, it'll draw people. And I believe that God's preparing every one of us for a fire that's coming. And we're going to burn very brightly in that fire. And he's asking if you'll come near and draw near to him now. He's asking if you'll lay down everything you can lay down. He's asking you to be men and women of prayer, that you have conversation. You don't have to raise your hand, nothing, but just think about how much are you praying? How much are you talking to him? How much of what we do is to try to figure out everything in our mind when we were just singing about the one who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Christianity without the fire of the Holy Spirit living within us can become very boring and redundant. But when the fire of God is living in us, it's exciting. It's changing us. It's drawing us. God sets you up for tonight to be challenged about going deeper in him, deeper in prayer, men and women of prayer. Prayer is the force against evil in the world and in our lives. And if we're not asking, we don't have. If we're not knocking, we're not going to get it. So God is wanting to encourage you and encourage me tonight to say, make your life a life of prayer. Pray always, the scripture says. And ask God to help you to pray more, to talk to him more, to start your day with that key, to lay your head down at night. And you don't even lay your head down without talking to him, taking a walk and getting alone with him. If you're like me, you're probably, you know, really desiring to see, come on, God, do something. There's got to be more. The other day I was watching something, and man, it just kind of shook me what was being said, what was being talked about. And when I was watching it, I just said, oh, God, please, please come, hurry. And then, you know, instead of getting upset about what I was seeing, I had this peace because I knew that God was in control and that he's got it. God's wanting us not to be self-satisfied. He's wanting us to be selfless and a people of prayer. When you're self-satisfied by what you have or what you're gaining and how much money, that when that's happening, you really don't have a need to pray because you got a lot. And I'm really concerned. I knew I was going to share my heart the way today went. I just knew I had to share my heart with you. I'm really concerned about the prosperity gospel that teaches us not to be broken and before the Lord and to be humble, but it's a gospel about getting, and having. I want God's blessing. I don't need the world's money. I want his blessing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having money. I read this from a real fiery evangelist, and I read this. He said, how many of you know Leonard Ravenhill or have ever read anything from him? Amazing evangelist, fiery man. He said, Christianity was not served up. Let me start right here. Then I began to remind myself that Christianity was not served up to the world in a silver platter. Christianity was born in a sophisticated, totalitarian society. The early church was walled in on one side with the mightiest military machine in history, the power of Rome. It was walled in on another side with Greek intellectualism. It was blocked ahead by the monopoly of the Jews who thought they had it everything on God. Those men who turned the world upside down, listen, those men who turned the world upside down, they had no colossal intellectual capacity, none. No great financial backing, none. No social standing, none. They were about the most despised men in and around Jerusalem, and yet they broke out somehow, and later it was said that they turned the world upside down. Is that a fact? That's a fact. They did that without money, being supported. They did that without great education from our seminaries. They did that in the midst of a whole massive military might in their midst that definitely wanted them extinguished. And they did that. And they did that how? They did that because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It said that they prayed until something happened. They moved in that area of prayer. If we have 3,000 churches, maybe one or two people get saved. They had 3,000 people get saved in a day because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just challenging you and challenging myself to say there is so, so much more. It's not to make us feel like, man, I don't measure up. No. No, that's not it at all. It's to make you and I hunger for the things that God hungers for us, because he knows it will benefit us and help us. If someone has left you or done you wrong, or somebody's cheated you, or if you feel bitter or you feel offended, just know this. You can take every bit of that to Jesus, and Jesus will fill every bit of that. He'll take it away and fill it with peace, and fill it with truth, and fill it with love. How did you get saved? How did you come to know him? Think about it. And so this is a day of challenging all of us to go deeper in the place of prayer. Prayer is a mighty force, as I said, against evil. Prayer is not short-lived. When I die, my prayers are still going to be around the ears of God. When I die, they're going to still be going. My prayers will never cease. I'm probably benefiting something from the generations that prayed before me and for you. And how are you praying and interceding for your family, for your friends? They will never, ever leave the ears of God. They're timeless, your prayers. And I want to challenge you in that, to pray and to know. It causes movement. It causes movement. In Isaiah 42, 6 through 13, I'm going to be looking there just in a minute. I'm not going to go just yet. But this is what I believe. I believe that all over the earth, God is raising up prayer and worship. All over the earth. Everywhere I look in the Old Testament and in the New, worship and prayer was continuous. I think it's great that we have worship leaders. That's fine. That's good. And we need them. I loved what happened up here. But guess what? In God's word and his plan, worship was continuous. Worship never stopped. There were many worship leaders. Matter of fact, in God's scripture, the tithes and the offerings, they supported the singers and the musicians to minister to God because he was worthy day and night, night and day. You guys following me with that? Just follow what I'm saying. So always through the Old Testament and into the New, it reminds us of Amos 9:11 about the tabernacle of David being arising at the end of the age. And so songs and music are going to rise. And it's not going to stop. And you won't be able to silence it. And it's not church as usual. I think that if we just worship God on Sunday and Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever, that's great and he appreciates that. But I really firmly believe that he should be worshiped every day and every night because he's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy of it for what he did. And so you're going to hear this more and more. God is establishing the house of prayer. It's spoken in Isaiah 56:7. It's spoken in Matthew and also in Mark. And he says, my house will be called a house of prayer, when in most churches you don't have prayer except a few times. And so we say, okay, Holy Spirit, we're going to pray. We want you to show up on Sundays from 11 to 12:30. And then we want you to come back tonight at 7 o'clock. And then we want you to come back Wednesday, 7 o'clock. And that's what we got, these little spaces for you, and we're going to be called the body of Christ, functioning in all that God has for us. That's not how it's going to work. That's good. God uses that, but that is not going to get us through the days ahead. When you hear about how it was back then for the early church, it's going to increase. Darkness is going to increase, and light's going to increase. God is going to be our refuge. God is going to be in our midst, and His presence is going to bring healing. God's going to have His angels doing ministry in our midst. I don't even think there's going to be the laying on of hands many times, because people are going to come in, and because of the presence of God, because people are worshiping and praying continuously, He will begin to inhabit that area. And it will be a set-apart area because people are saturating that area, wherever it is, with prayer and worship. You can have your own prayer room at home, of course, but when we gather together, there's something to that. So when you see the shaking and things happening all over the earth, know, look for a house of prayer. Look for people that are praying and worshiping day and night, night and day. We're going to need it. It's going to have to take place. Matter of fact, the house of prayer is the prophetic action plan that God has in place for the people of God all over the earth. It's the prophetic action plan that He has. And it's going to happen. And you're going to soar. You can doubt now, that's fine. But I'm telling you that there's an outpouring, according to the scripture, that's going to be poured out all over the earth. It's going to make the Jesus movement in the 70s look like nothing. That's when I got saved. I mean, it was great. It was, God was moving. And I remember walking through the city, everybody's my brother and sister, they thought I was absolutely some, you know, hippie Jesus flower child. Exactly, because I was loving everybody. Hey, brother, what's happening? You know, I had nothing in me but this love flowing out of me. And it was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't something I was trying to muster up. It was just overflowing, and it was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know what? I like asking people, hey, have you been in the Word today? But I'm really challenging people, have you been in prayer today? Because prayer opens up a door for you to be in the Word. It really does. Pull away and pray. Okay, I'm just going to quickly share a few things with you and show you this prophetic action plan that I believe is going to take place. And I'm going to try to prove it to you from the Old Testament into the New. And then I'll finish probably with Isaiah 42. But I will say Isaiah 56:7 says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21:13 says, Jesus said, after He ran everybody out, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And I want to challenge you, no man or woman is greater than their prayer life. I want you to think about it. If you're the overseer for your family, if you're the dad, you're not praying and interceding, I don't care what's happened in the past. We're only as good as our prayer life. We only communicate and move things in motion through our prayer life. And that has to be happening. You know, I don't want any of you to feel bad tonight. But I want to tell you this. I feel like the Lord has a hold of me, and He's saying, you got to tell them, you got to keep telling them, you got to keep challenging them, you got to keep challenging yourself, you got to be in the Word, preach the Word, do everything you can, in season, out of season, stand in that place, fast and pray and seek my face and keep telling them that I'm coming back and keep telling them I have a plan, keep encouraging them that they're part of this. Amen. Are you guys okay? You were real good in worship, man. You guys were really jamming in worship, so hang in there. When I look at the tabernacle of David and the history of it and the kings of Israel, you know, some of you know about the tabernacle of David. Of course, he took the Ark of the Covenant, and he assigned singers and musicians to minister to the Lord day and night. His Shekinah glory, His presence was in the tent, and that was called the tent of David, the tabernacle of David. And when that was happening, Every time, each team, time the kings of Israel reinstituted the Davidic order of worship and prayer in the temple, they had spiritual breakthrough, and they always had military victory afterwards. They always did. And it happened within 8 specific periods in the Old Testament. So what I'm saying is, when the people of God had singing and prayer and worship going up to the Lord and praise, they were always victorious. And when they didn't, they weren't. They spiritually grew in that area. And when they didn't grow. Matter of fact, they were defeated. And I won't go through all the scriptures. Of course, you know David, but Solomon is one of them. And they instituted where there were singers and musicians ministering to the Lord day and night, night and day, with stringed instruments and harps, hundreds of them ministering to the Lord day and night in Solomon's day. And they had peace in those days. You got David, you got Solomon, you got Jehoshaphat, the same situation, and it was all about his presence. It was like when his presence was there, things seemed to be stable and good. But they ushered in his presence by coming before him and acknowledging him and worshiping him. Worship and prayer is the necessity in all of our lives. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. This is Jehoshaphat, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. We're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And every time that they did that, they were victorious. It goes on, Hezekiah is another king. It says, and he stationed the Levites, the singers and musicians, in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad and the keen seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David that he made, and they ministered to the Lord. Same thing with Josiah. He was a great reformer. That took place then with him. And then with Ezra, said, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in with their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the son of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. That was in Ezra's day. Same thing in Nehemiah. And then Nehemiah, he gave all the portions of the tithes and offerings to the singers and the musicians so that they could minister, so they didn't have to work in the field. I want you to think about that. What if things shifted in our culture where we started bringing in the tithes and the offerings, and we were supporting not one worship leader, but many that were ministering to God in a certain place day and night, night and day? That's according to the scripture. That's what they did. That would turn everything upside down according to the way that we do church. But the point, if you don't miss this, the point that I'm making is when it was established, there was victory. When it was established, there was spiritual breakthrough. When it was established, God began to inhabit the praises of his people. It's very, very important. Now I'm going to bring it pretty much down to this day. In Amos 9:11 and verse 12, this is what it says. It says, on that day, and this is, I believe, in that time period with us, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up the ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. And then verse 12, it says, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles, all of us who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. And if you go over into Acts chapter 15, 13 through 17, it says, and after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take them a people for his name. And with these words of the prophet agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. That's bringing it up to modern day in the book of Acts. So no matter what, God is establishing a beachhead of worship and prayer of young people and old that are singers, musicians, people that pray, that intercede. And, you know, when you talk about prayer, it's not kind of a real, you know, fiery thing. People don't get too excited about it. Or when you talk about this worship, can I tell you this? I hope you mark these words. Before it's all over, every one of us is going to be looking for that refuge of that place where that there's worship and prayer going up. And people are standing in the power of God. Every one of us. Revival is a place of fire. Revival is not something you say, hey, we're going to have revival next week. It's not. It's a place where God shows up in a powerful way. And that's what he's wanting to do. Do you guys get it? Do you get it? Do you follow me so far? I got one person. Okay, let me preach the whole thing over again. Go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, 6 through 13. I just want to read this. And I want to always draw your attention to Isaiah 42, 1 through 13, because it's a small little blueprint of exactly what I'm talking about right now. Starting with verse 6, it says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. He says, I've called you in righteousness. How can we be righteous? Because of Jesus. It's a prophetic book, Isaiah. And so because of Jesus, we are found righteous. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. In the midst of everything going on, God's going to hold us by the hand. He's going to watch over us if we trust him and we believe. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. And he says, I'm going to open blind eyes and bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in the darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. That relates strongly to Psalm 2. He's not going to give his glory to anybody else, any other gods. He will not do it. Nor my praise to graven images. Verse 9, and he's saying, behold, the former things have come to pass. And he says, now I declare new things to you. And guess what? He says, before they spring forth, I'm going to proclaim them to you. Somebody's going to stand up in front of you, or the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you while you're reading the word, or you're in prayer, and he says, I'm going to show you exactly what's going to happen on the earth. And in these 13 verses, it's a small blueprint of preparing you for that. And he says, behold, the former things have come to pass, new things. Before they spring forth, I'll proclaim them to you. And verse 10 and 11, look what it says. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let me stop right there. Do you think that's like the newest song that just came out on Word Records? I don't think so. I want to sing a new song, so let's get a new song. No, he's saying, sing to the Lord a new song. He's saying inside of you, there's a song. And sing your heart to him, because it's a prophetic oracle onto God. And he says, sing that prophetic oracle onto me. What flows out of your heart, I don't care if it's in the shower, backyard, wherever, sing it onto me. Release it onto me. And he says that's going to happen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. That's everywhere. He says, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. So if you look at verse 10, 11, and 12, it covers everything. It covers the earth. It covers the cities, the coastlands, the mountains, the valleys, the islands. It covers everything. And God, when God says it in his word, it's going to come to pass. He said there's a new song. A song's going to rise all over the earth. And we're going to be part of it. And he says, I'm going to let you in on it before it happens. I'm going to declare it to you. And don't worry about all the hell that's breaking loose all over the earth because of the Antichrist and everything else, that movement, that false religion, that harlot religion. Don't worry about it because you just sing on to me. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in your midst. And let the song break out. Let the song, let the singers sing. Let the musicians pray. Let the people that intercede. Folks, this is not about church as usual. This is not about a slick presentation. This is not about, you know how many seminary students know God's word, but they don't know God? I hear it all the time. I can hear it by the things that they say. They haven't experienced him. They're drawn away by false religion. They're accepting things in our culture like that. We have got to be a stronghold of his presence, a stronghold of his word, a stronghold of his love, a stronghold of prayer. No matter what church you attend, this is for the body of Christ. This isn't just for one church. It's for the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening is not enough. I'm telling you, it's good, but it's not enough. I had a young man come in here on a Monday. A friend of mine brought him. He's a worship leader. He's got a couple CDs out there. He even has a soaking CD where he's really before the Lord. It's really beautiful. And so he came in on a Monday, and we had a team up here, and we were praying and worshiping for a couple hours on Monday morning. And he came out here, and he looked at my other friend. He said, "What are they doing? On Monday? On Monday? On Monday? On Monday? What are they doing?" "Well, they're worshiping." "Oh." And he had never, ever heard anything about the house of prayer. I shared Isaiah 42 with him. And this worship leader, I think he's from Kentucky, this worship leader, when he left the place, he's already contacted me two or three times, and I'm sending stuff to him. Because he knows in his heart and his spirit that it's right. And so that one traveling worship leader with CDs out there stops into the house of prayer and gets his heart ignited saying, "There's more. I knew there was more." And he's a worship leader at his church. I don't think that one, you know, the greatest opportunity is to lead somebody to Jesus. I think it's awesome. Awesome. But I also think it's awesome when you bring someone in and you teach them about intimacy and a passion to know Jesus, and you teach them how to worship or meditate upon the word, and you equip young people and old folks, middle age, doesn't matter, to be before the Lord. Check it out. We have an Ignite Week here. We have a 13-year-old girl that meditates upon a scripture. We do it for 2 hours. It's called Worship with the Word. So we're singing that. And we're singing the word, and we're praying, and we're singing around it, kind of like a singing seminary, they say. So we're singing around it, and we've taught everybody in the room how to meditate on the word, because a lot of people say, "Well, when you come to the prayer room, what do? Well, learn to meditate upon the word, because it's deeper than what you know, and the Holy Spirit will give you all kinds of understanding to the word. So this little 13-year-old girl, everybody was sharing what they got from that scripture. This 13-year-old girl got up and shared like two paragraphs that blew us all away. And the depth of her insight, because she meditated upon the word. God doesn't want you, I think, just reading through the whole Bible. That's good, but he wants you to meditate on it. Maybe just one scripture. If you're not doing anything on Friday, come on in here. From 9 to 10:30, we're meditating on Psalm 27:4, just that verse. And we're just meditating on it. That's life. I think every one of us in this room want to shake off where we've been and go where God has for us, wherever that is. Man. So, when I shared, to bring it up to speed, from Amos 9:11 and Acts 15, you know, Jesus basically defines his church to be a house of prayer. And now the Lord lives within us. We're called the temple of God. When we gather together, there's strength and there's power in that. In Isaiah, let's go back to Isaiah 42, and I'll close with this. It says, "Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands." When that is all happening, and if you read earlier, take time to read through the rest of it. But when that all takes place and you guys begin to hear a sound, you guys begin to hear a song, you begin to hear of people worshiping all over the place, Jesus. You're seeing a chaotic anarchy, and then all of a sudden you hear worshiping going on. Know that that song is rising all over the earth. And guess what that song, I'm going to go out on a limb because I really believe this is true. Guess what that song does? That song ushers in the return of the king. Look at verse 13. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout of yes. He will raise a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies that were prevailing against many of the saints. You got it. Man, okay, let me read it again. One more time. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal. This is Jesus. Like a man of war, he will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. That's the word of God. That's what you have. You can say by faith and know this is going to take place because it's in the word. And it's when a song arises all over the earth. Do you want to be part of that song? Do you want to be in that place? And that's what I want to encourage you tonight, to become men and women of prayer. But that's what God's doing. That's what's happening. And I can share this with you and you say, man, that was okay message. Listen, I don't care if you like my message at all. I could care less. I could care less. I just want to be able to point you in a direction and say, listen, watch for this. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And he's going to overwhelm everyone. And I want to be in that place. And I want to buy oil now. I want to get ready now in my intimacy with Christ, in the Word. I want to get ready now. Because when things start shaking, how many of you say, well, I'm going to wait a while and then I'll get myself together. Uh-uh. Get it together now. Be a man and a woman of prayer. Start praying. Start praying more than you've ever prayed. Pray unceasingly. Talk to him all the time. Set time where you get on your face before the Lord. When was the last time you really laid down on your face before God and said, Lord, here I am. Take all of me. Take all of me. Change my life. I'm so sorry. When the presence of God shows up all over the earth, many men and women are going to come into the kingdom. And we need to be ready who know him, to help them in the midst of that. Amen? Why don't you stand? Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, I'm just asking. That you would fill each and every one of these temples in this room today. That something would shift in our heart, that we would be men and women that would give ourselves continually to prayer and the Word of God. Lord, I ask that you stir up the passion in people here today. As you are establishing a worldwide movement of prayer and worship, I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment just to ask him to help you, to strengthen you. Yes. We want to get your ear tonight, God. We want to get your ear. We want to pray. We want you to hear. So we repent of anything that would hinder our prayers. From this day forward, let our little worlds be shaped by prayer. And let this region be shaped by prayer. Let this nation be shaped by prayer. That you would raise up a praying army, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Give it.
I give you my soul.
Yes, God.
I live for
us tonight in prayer.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart.
Give everything to you, Lord.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Have your way, Lord, in us.
In me.
As we say yes to you.
Have your way in me.
Men and women of prayer. Bless my brothers and sisters here tonight. Be with them as they travel home. Strengthen them in the word and in prayer. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. And if you do need prayer, you can come up and we'd be glad to pray with you. It's all about Jesus and all about his presence. God bless you and go in peace tonight. Awake, 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 O sleeper. Awake.